Oscar Romero, the Archbishop of San Salvador, was assassinated 38 years ago this coming Saturday. He was 62 years old. For most of his adult life, he was a conservative, by the book, don't stick your neck out, status quo priest, who was not overly concerned with the plight of the rural poor in El Salvador. But firsthand experience in his late 50s, when he was serving a community in the countryside, when he saw the rising violence and the government repression of the people who lived there, it opened his eyes and everything changed. In the last 3 years of his life, he became the unwavering voice of the voiceless. He denounced the killings and the torture and the disappearances of community leaders. He demanded justice for the atrocities committed by the police and the military. And he set up aid programs for the victims of violence. And for that, he was vilified in the press. He was denounced by his fellow bishops and by Christians of the wealthy classes, and he was harassed by government security forces. But he was steady, speaking week after week after week on his radio show, speaking to both the oppressed and the oppressors. At one point, it's estimated that 75% of the country heard him every week. And his message was consistent, proclaiming God's mandate for love and justice and mercy, and proclaiming the promise of forgiveness for anyone, for everyone. And today's gospel reading was a favorite of his. He wrote and reflected frequently on the image of the single grain of wheat, that because it dies, it bears much fruit. And moments before he was assassinated, he gave a homily on it. You could say that he embodied this gospel reading. This passage marks the turning point in John's gospel from Jesus' ministry to his journey to the cross. He has traveled through Judea and Samaria, gathering and teaching his disciples, healing the sick, restoring others to life, and all the while challenging the hypocrisy and the corruption of the religious leaders. When Jesus arrives in Jerusalem for the festival of Passover, the crowds gather around him, hailing him as the King of Israel. And the Pharisees grow alarmed and say to each other, "We've lost control. The whole world is following him." And right on cue, some Greeks arrive, seeking Jesus. That means that his influence is spreading beyond the Jewish community. And the Pharisees see clearly that this man has lit a fire that is spreading fast. His vision of a God who desires abundant life for everyone and his embrace of outcasts and notorious sinners are giving new energy and boldness to a formerly fearful and compliant populace. So the Pharisees plot to kill him. Jesus recognizes the turning point too and says to his disciples, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I'm telling you, a grain of wheat remains just a single grain unless it falls in the earth and dies. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternity." It's cryptic. But Jesus is talking about the purpose of his own life and death and what that means for his followers, including us. But to understand it, we have to get a little bit deeper into some of the language that he uses. First, what does it mean to be glorified? Throughout the Hebrew scriptures, we hear about the glory of God, which is also called the Shekinah, And the glory of God refers to the dwelling or the presence of God. The Israelites experienced it as a pillar of cloud and of fire that went before them, a protective sign, a sign that God was with them, and that traveled with them and rested on Mount Sinai. Moses, when he encountered the glory of God, was transfigured by its brightness. So to glorify God is to manifest all that God is, to make God present in a real, tangible way. Throughout John's gospel, time and again, Jesus is identified as the glory of God, the presence of God in physical, relational form. In the first chapter describing the incarnation, John says, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth." In his life, Jesus glorifies God by showing forth God's desires for justice and mercy. And he doesn't abandon these values as the threat of death becomes real. So when Jesus tells his disciples, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified," we can hear, "Now is the time that God is manifest. Watch me, follow me, and you will encounter the Holy One yourself." And then he offers them the example of the grain of wheat. Only if it's buried in the earth can it be completely changed from a solitary grain to a flourishing plant that provides daily bread for those who need it. There is a sense of surrender implied here, a leap of faith in giving up a fixed and limited way of being to be transformed for a more abundant and life-giving existence. This invitation to transformation is at the heart of Jesus' message when he says that those who love their life will lose it and that those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternity. The word "world" named here, it's Greek, it's cosmos. It doesn't mean God's creation, this beautiful world around us. It means the human-made structures and institutions that perpetuate domination and violence and inequity in the name of order and safety. A better word, or better understanding of that word, "world," is the system. The system that operated in El Salvador in Oscar Romero's day and operates to some degree in every modern society, including our own. The system that is based on hierarchy and control, privileging the powerful and silencing others. The system that enshrines the belief that violence saves, that war brings peace, that might makes right. You know the ideas. My family, our nation, can only flourish if we are more powerful than others. We need more weapons to be truly safe. We must arm teachers to protect school children. Jesus is telling his disciples that life in this system is really death. And only by dying to the idea of self first and others second can we truly find life. The call to lose one's life means to take on the needs of the other first, trusting in the faithfulness of God. Oscar Romero put it best in his final homily. He said, "You have just heard in Christ's gospel that one must not love oneself so much as to avoid getting involved in the risks of life that history demands of us, and that those who try to fend off the danger will lose their lives, while those who out of love for God give themselves to the service of others will live. Live like the grain of wheat that dies, but only apparently. It did not die, it would remain alone. Only by undoing itself does it produce the harvest. As this last week of Lent gives way to Holy Week, we are invited to encounter the one in whom God is glorified. May we make that leap of faith that allows us to give up our limited ways of being so that God is manifest in our lives too.